This morning we'll be sharing about issues that I hope touch many. And I want to begin by reading from the book of Psalms, the Psalm of Asaph, Psalm 73. Psalm 73, and as the youth are leaving, Lord bless you, and you have your classes as you go. Okay. I might just say about this psalm. I thank the Lord for the candid feelings that it expresses, and that the writer of the psalm had the freedom to express himself in this way. How good God is to Israel and to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I came so close to the edge of the cliff. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. For I was envious of the prosperity of the proud and the wicked. Yes, all through life the road is smooth. They grow sleek and smooth. They're not always in trouble and plagued with problems like everyone else. So their pride sparkles like a jeweled necklace, and their clothing is woven of cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff at God and threaten His people. How proudly they speak. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut through the earth. And God and God's people are dismayed and confused and drink it all in. Does God realize what's going on? They ask. Look at these men of arrogance. They never have to lift a finger. There's a life of ease, and all the time their riches multiply. Have I been wasting my time? Why take the trouble to be pure? All I get out of it is trouble and woe every day, all day long. If I had really said that, I would have been a traitor to your people. Yet it is so hard to explain it, this prosperity of those who hate God, hate the Lord. Then one day I went into the Lord God's sanctuary to meditate and thought about the future of these evil men. What a slippery path they are on. Suddenly God will send them sliding over the edge of the cliff and down to their destruction, an instant end to all their happiness, an eternity of terror. Their present life is only a dream. They will awaken to the truth as one wakens from a dream of things that never really were. When I saw this, what turmoil filled my heart. I saw myself so stupid and so ignorant. I must seem like an animal to you, O Lord. But even so, you love me. You are holding my right hand. You will keep on girding, guiding me all my life with your wisdom and counsel, and afterwards receive me into the glories of heaven. Whom have I in heaven but you? And I desire no one on earth as much as you. My health fails, my spirits droop, but God remains. He is the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. First of all, I want to say that I believe that all the scriptures inspired, but this particular psalm, it's wonderful that the writer wasn't thrown out of the school of Asaph. There were different schools of prophetic and psalm writing, but he was still retained in the circle of faith. He wasn't excommunicated. Even though he expresses some very strong and potent sentiments and very much generalizations that are not true. The wicked are not always blessed. They're not always living the easy life. But that's what happens when people get depressed and see, as it were, in a tunnel, and they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. They begin to make generalizations, and their envy Envy and bitterness clouds their thinking, causing erroneous and rash generalizations. And so here you find someone who was going through something very difficult and yet had the freedom to express that, and it winds up in the Holy Scripture for us to benefit thereby. And we're here in the assembly amongst his people to find answers and not just to be titillated and teased with the latest theological trend, but to find real answers to life. And perhaps unforgiveness, the appetite for power, control, sex, money, are some of the things that distract and bring you down, bring me down. Denying the self-pleasing life is not easy. I don't think anyone ever really believes that it's easy. But it's a daily struggle. It's a daily battle to keep righteous and keep him before us. And just as Susan was talking about, what we end up giving the Lord many times is the tenth. That's the leftover. And I know what she was talking about. When we get so caught up and busy with things in life. And so I just thought I'd share from my life and some of the things that have helped me in finding a place in the Lord, a victory. And so this Asaph expresses some sentiments that are very hard, very crucial to not get into focus like he was, but to know how to prevent times of depression and doubt so we can learn from his mistakes. Some of the personal flashpoints in my life are issues concerning children, of all things. We've had seven children, and though that's one of the particular things that has a great potential for trouble between Liz and I. Thank the Lord, we're growing, we're becoming more patient with each other. But you know, if it was just Liz and I for, you know, without the children, of course I love and cherish each one of our children, but you know, things would be a lot smoother. But there's something about children that bring in the life of a believer, lives of families that they're like flashpoints. And that centers over issues of discipline. I'm more of a disciplinarian, and Liz is more of an advocate for Children's Anonymous or whatever. I don't know. I don't know. It just came out that way. But I've said to her many times she should have been a lawyer for kids, because she sees their side and sees their point very often when I fail to do that. One of the other things that is a flashpoint between us is driving the car. In fact, Liz is so fed up with driving with me. She immediately, when she sees me coming, she gets out of the car and driver's seat and gets over in the passenger side because she doesn't want to hear my backseat driving. Of course, I think I have some objective reasons for that, but in fact, we want to invest in getting one of these car-mounted cell phone things, and so she doesn't have to drive and answer the phone and do 10 other things while she's driving. But so maybe we'll get that thing installed in the car. Even issues like parking the car. Liz is such a artistic person that she never parks the car the same way twice. And when there's two cars that have to go in the driveway, they have to fit just perfectly right, but that rarely is the case. So those are things that concern us. I'm a person that will, if I see someone trying to read in a dark room, I'll turn on some lights. But, a big but, if I see a room left with lights on it and no one's in the room, I go around and turn off four or five lights that I feel ought to be off. And then I come back 5 minutes later and the lights are on again. And no one in the room. So those are issues that that bring us into conflict sometimes. My dad went through the depression in the States, what they call the Great Depression. For those of you from other parts of the world, have heard about the depression, and that's when many farmers, business people alike, lost everything they had because they owed the banks money, and so I'm very much a product. My mentality is one of thrift, and so when I see someone washing the dishes with the water just pouring out, you know, the whole time constantly, I quickly turned it halfway down or just say, you know, use it to rinse. And because I feel that we need to preserve God's resources, and that Israel, of all places, we can't afford to even waste a drop. I mean, not literally, but so it bothers me when I see storekeepers watering their, spraying down their fronts in front of their shop using water instead of a broom and things like that. But of course, no one else in my family sees things like that. And so those are issues that bring us into potential conflict. Yeah. But on more personal things, that I have to be careful with management of time. I remember, David, I don't know if you have a TV now, but I remember talking to you about having a TV, and he said, you know, if I had a TV, I'd be watching it all the time, and I would never get to my work at doing studies in the Bible and all that. And I'm pretty close to your, but we have a TV. So guess what? So those are some of the areas that I need to watch, but that get me down, get me off focus, get me out of sync. So denying self is not easy, but we need the Lord to help us in all these areas to bring discipline and love and care with one another. And I found that sometimes when I've allowed myself to dwell on some of these things, I've entered into kind of like a tunnel, like a depressed, minor depression. I've never been a person that suffered depression, but I found that in the last years that I found that it's almost easy to sink into it, and even to pamper myself, and even almost enjoy it for a season. And I know that's wrong, and I know that we should never get like that, but I'm just confessing that sometimes I allow myself to enter into, coddle myself in these dark feelings and kind of throw my hands and say, well, what's the use? And what, you know, we've gone around this circle umpteenth time, and we're going around the same circle again. And so, I've through discipline again, I've said no to those feelings, and I see how destructive they can be to your own self and to your family. So, don't give in to those darker impulses. And the more you deny yourself in those particular areas, the easier it is to say no the next time. So God's grace is and love is what brings us through not only every day but every hour and every minute of the day. And Psalm 73 is an example of a believer who nearly lost his way. He I almost think that he in this Psalm 40-73 that he wrote the kind of the meat of it, and then he went back and said, "Well, that's too dour and too dark. I better dress it up and start it out with at least how God is good to Israel and those whose hearts are pure." I think he came back and kind of corrected and fine-tuned it a little bit, and then he ends the psalm with saying, "My health fails, my spirit droop, yet God remains. He is the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." I think he kind of came back and brought it, wanted to pick up the message of the psalm. I don't know if the school of Asaph told him that, you know, we can't have that in the scripture, or we want it to be a little more edifying and uplifting. So maybe this is just speculation, by the way. It's not doctrine. But I want to read from the Message. When you get to a situation where things are looking down, and Liz and I have had a very, not only we had sickness in the house, but we had another funeral to attend to, the dear sister, one of the early sisters that and families that maybe some of us know. David, you remember Martin Dovali and then Maria? They were there at the Baptist Village during the early days when it was purchased and helped clean the swampy land there. We're here in 1948 at this building and protected it from any who would come to try to take possession of the site. And then for a time, when they first came, they literally lived in a cave at the edge of Betzafafa. And so they have a real rich history. But anyway, Maria, the daughter, went to be with the Lord this week. And we had all that to deal with. And appreciate Dave and Richard Brogdon's help and helping us, and others of you who helped so much to get that done. And we were blessed, Lord, for our memory. In 2 Corinthians, "I know I distressed you greatly with my letter, although I felt awful at the time. I don't feel it at all bad now that I see how it turned out. The letter upset you, but only for a while. Now I'm glad, not that you were upset, but that you were jarred into turning things around. You let the distress bring you to God, not drive you from Him. That's important. Allow these things that we experience, all of us, the distress and the problems of life, to bring us to God and not to drive us from Him. The result was all gain, no loss. Distress that drives us to God does that. It turns us around. It gets us back in the way of salvation. We never regret that kind of pain. But those who let distress drive them away from God are full of regrets and end up on a deathbed of regrets. And now, isn't it wonderful that all the ways in which this distress has goaded you closer to God? You're more alive, you're more concerned, more sensitive, more reverent, more human, more passionate, more responsible. Looked at from my angle, from any angle, you come out of this with purity of heart. And that is what I was hoping for in the first place when I wrote the letter. My primary concern was not for the one who did the wrong, but that, or even the wrong one wrong, but for you, that you would realize and act upon the deep ties between us before God, that what happened and what we felt would be just great. So this expresses what we should do when we get distressed, when we get challenged by difficulties in life, to turn that into opportunity for God to minister to us in His grace, in His power, in His might. I'm going to ask Liz to come and rebut anything I've said here about us. But to read this story that shows the grace of God so richly, and I thought it would be good to share it with you, of how God can turn anyone's life around, and no matter how deep or dark our circumstances might be.
A Party of Grace and Love, the story by Tony Campolo, took place while he was traveling in Hawaii. At 3 a.m, I wandered into a diner. The only other customers were a group of prostitutes who had finished for the night. One of them, Agnes, mentioned that tomorrow was her birthday, and she had never in her life had a birthday party. After they left, I found out from Harry, the guy behind the counter, that they came each night to this diner. I asked if I could come back the next night and throw a party. Harry said okay. At 2:30 the next morning, I was back. I had made a sign that read, "Happy Birthday, Agnes." By 3:15, every prostitute in Honolulu was in the place. It was wall-to-wall prostitutes and me. At 3:30, the door of the diner swung open. In came Agnes, and we all screamed, "Happy Birthday." Never have I seen a person so flabbergasted. When we finished singing, her eyes moistened. When the cake was carried out, she started to cry. Harry gruffly mumbled, "Cut the cake, Agnes. We all want some cake." "Look, Harry, is it okay if I keep the cake a little while?" "Sure, take the cake home if you want." She carried the cake out the door like it was the Holy Grail. We stood there motionless, a stunned silence in the place. Not knowing what else to do, I broke the silence by saying, "What do you say we pray?" Looking back on it now, it seems more than strange for a sociologist to be leading a prayer meeting with a bunch of prostitutes in a diner in Honolulu at 3:30 in the morning. But then it was just felt like the right thing to do. I prayed for Agnes, for her salvation, that her life would be changed, that God would be good to her. When I finished, Harry said, "Hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to?" I answered, "I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning." Harry waited a moment and answered, "No, you don't. There's no church like that. If there was, I'd join it." Wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all love to join a church like that? That's the kind of church Jesus came to create. I don't know where we got the other one that's so prim and proper, but anyone who reads the New Testament knows Jesus loved to lavish grace on the left out and the used up and the put down. The sinners loved him because he partied with them.
Liz, can you come to piano? All of us have some degree of difficulty. I'm sure not many of us have that degree of complication in our lives, but the Lord loves each one of us and wants to reach down today in this hour to heal us and to heal us of our wounds and our injuries and our sicknesses and whatever is ailing us today. And I just thought that we need to talk about some of these things that that real people in the world are going through, that some of us might be going through, and to say that the Lord wants to use us and wants to heal us and wants to set us on a solid path of following Him in discipleship. And I know that this church is probably we're probably too sophisticated and to receive prostitutes in it, but at least that's what I hope that this congregation becomes, one that would welcome the down and outers, the rag dolls, the whatever that of life that that life is spewing out and thrown up, and that may we become a congregation that's a healing place that knows His grace and His healing. Amen. Let's all stand and sing something in closing. See the hand of just anyone who says I identify with what you were saying this morning, and I need the Lord's help in this area. You don't have to say what area, just that the Lord wants to minister His health and strength, His grace to each one of us today. Father, we pray for those that have raised their hands, and I raise my hand with others today and say how we need Your love, Your grace, to fill us and overflow us. Lord, to heal those bruises, those wounds from the past, those very complicated stories, those intricate, that tapestry that we have from our past that begs results and begs a solution. Lord, only You can heal lives. Only You can repair what the canker worm has come in and destroyed. The locust has come in and destroyed. So, Lord, we pray that Your mercy and grace will be sufficient today, which it is. It always is. That we know restoration. That we know deliverance. That You'd set us free from those appetites and things that get us off the focus of You, that defeat us over and over again, those areas that we've traveled a well-beaten path, but haven't gotten the victory over. Lord, we pray that they will know Your victory in those areas, those secret areas, Lord, that You want to bring help to. Thank You, Father. We love You and bless You and pray that we can become the congregation that accepts the dirty, the used, the rag dolls of this society, and that we'll be restorers, that we'll be those who lift up weak hands and weak knees, Lord. Thank You, Father. And Lord, we pray that if there's one yet who yet doesn't know You personally and doesn't know You as Savior and Lord, that they would receive You as King and Master today, as Savior, and that to go out a changed person, a changed individual, that they'd experience the new birth of Your salvation. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.